Welcome to Slightly Something Else. I'm Yahtzee Croger. I'm joined by McBiggity Marty Sleaver over there.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
And we are talking about the Game Awards, whose nominations have recently been announced. Now, I have very deliberately not looked at the nominations up to now. You're getting raw reactions. This is pure podcasting sex right here.
I feel like this is like what I think at E3 Nick was going over the big reveals to you and had you had to react to it in real time.
Yep, just popping balloons one by one. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be shit. That's gonna be shit. That's gonna be shit.
Yep.
Now the Game Awards have a certain reputation in my eyes.
Yeah,
they very rarely seem to focus on the actual quality of the games or, you know, cultural importance or whether or not they pull off what they succeeded to do, and generally it tends to be more focused on how much existing profile the games have.
Yes. I think if I look back at the list of the last five winners and if you were just to ask me what are five of the biggest games of the last 5 years, these would be it.
Yeah,
we had The Last of Us Part II last year, Sekiro the year before, God of War, Breath of the Wild, and Overwatch.
Very tiresomely predictable, isn't it?
It is. I do think as a whole, the show started out like over 10 years ago, very bad. Mm. And I think as a production, it's gotten less bad. So that's good. That's moving in the right direction.
Well, that's something, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what you're saying it's gotten sparklier.
It has gotten sparklier. It has gotten sparklier. And I, unlike you, I am still a sucker when I hear the thunderous voice that says world premiere. I get a tremor. I get the vapors when I hear that.
Now, I do know one game that got nominated because Jack told me on a previous stream.
Was it a certain indie game?
It was a certain indie game, yes. A certain indie game with some voice talent in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So I know that 12 Minutes got nominated for Best Indie Game.
My favorite joke about that was people saying that it got robbed and that it should have been nominated for Best Family Game. I like that quite a bit.
So I see what you did there.
I did. Hey, that wasn't even my joke. I stole that from several funnier people on Twitter.
Hey, three super chats in. We haven't had a single green one yet. They're all yellow. Let's try to keep this streak going.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yellow means...
What a color.
Not quite as small amount of money as green, but not quite as big as red.
So we're not saying that we need a red one in, but I'm just saying that.
Well, you know, red's good too. Just keep it. Let's keep it nice and autumnal, shall we, chat?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right. Well, might as well get it over with. Snap off the limb.
So we discussed before we went live. You probably don't want to do categories like best esports coach.
Now let's start at the top. Let's start with the big ones.
Okay, start with the biggies. We'll just start right at the top. Game of the year. There are six nominees, and according to the category, it is recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields.
Six nominees. Okay, well, let's think about this. There hasn't really been anything that's like a huge Last of Us 2-style big event this year. So, what do they usually fall back on? I'm going to say Call of Duty's in there.
It's not. Gasp. Which Call of Duty might have been either, maybe it was a victim of them reading the room and being like, well, maybe we shouldn't award Activision things this year. But also, they have a very interesting cutoff. So it is the game of the year, but technically the game from like January 1st to October 31st. So we're not going to see any Halo Infinite on here. We're not going to see any, you and I just mentioned playing Solar Ash. We're not going to be seeing anything like that. So it is the game for the best 85% of the year.
Right. Someone in the chat gave away Deathloop was a nominee. Is that in there?
Yeah.
I suppose that
it is.
Sense.
I think it's one of the most, probably the most awarded game, or in the most categories, I should say.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge innovation. No, really. All right. Oh, let me just. I just need to remind myself what games actually came out. I need to get my.
A couple of them were a while ago. A couple of them were like late spring. So that's a long time ago.
Let's get my episode guide out. What wouldn't have been out in time last year.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Miles Morales?
No. I think the only last year game that was out late enough to get some nominations this year was Cyberpunk in categories like Best RPG, which is very funny.
Well, I have to pad that category out somehow.
They can't let the weebs fully take over.
All right, we've established... Resident Evil Village.
Resident Evil Village.
That's in the Game of the Year's list?
That's it. That's in Game of the Year, which was kind of surprising to me because I feel like I enjoyed Resident Evil Village, but I doesn't feel like anyone is still talking about that game, you know, 4 or 5 months later, 6 months later, however long it was.
Well, it had meme appeal.
It did.
Had some meme appeal.
Yeah, it had the tall lady. People love that tall lady.
It's had Mummy Milkers.
Oh, geez. that's a straight shot to Game of the Year right there.
Yeah. Okay, so Deathloop, Resident Evil Village.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, this is tricky, actually. Returnal?
No, I think that is the game that the most folks feel like was snubbed.
Oh, okay.
Because it feels like when that game came out, it had like a moment and folks were talking about it and it was saying like, oh, what a technical achievement. And your controller was making noises and doing rumbles. And it got a lot of nominations. It got nominations for Best Direction, but not for Game of the Year. So
whatever the fuck that means.
Yep, exactly.
Psychonauts 2.
Yep.
Aha,
Psychonauts 2.
That's in Game of the Year. I guess
also got a lot of nominations. Yeah.
I guess Deathloop kind of ate Returnal's lunch in terms of the bringing to the mainstream of the roguelike sort of thing.
Yeah. And maybe just by the end of the year, people were kind of exhausted at the whole time loop thing. Like, we got a lot of them this year.
All right, I guess this is going to be a tough one for me to guess. I'm just going to be listing off all the like the big games I can see here.
I think you've done three ZPs on the rest of them.
Okay.
I think on all these, yeah.
Metroid Dread, is that in there?
Yep. Metroid Dread is on there. So that's the carrot for Nintendo fans.
Yeah.
It deservedly. I think it's good. I think that game holds up as well as the other games on this list.
It's got a profile, but you know, I wouldn't say it was a major step forward or anything.
No, I think a lot of this also points to what was just relatively weak year in terms of games, which is understandable because this is, you know, smack dab in the middle of a pandemic. So that's understandable.
Six nominees.
We have two left.
Two left?
Yeah.
Two left I haven't got.
Yep.
Surely not Far Cry 6.
Not Far Cry 6, no. Okay.
See how I'm hedging my bets there.
Yeah, no, these other two were I would say, mostly beloved by the folks who played them. One is an exclusive, and one isn't, I think, is like debatable if it's an indie or not.
Debatable as whether it's indie or not. Huh.
Its developer is independent. Its publisher certainly is not.
It Takes Two.
It does take two.
Because that was published by EA. Yes, that suddenly hit me in the head.
Yeah, but it feels like that is the game that's sort of carrying the indie torch.
There's always isn't there? They pick one indie game and they just nominate it for like half a dozen things to show that they've got indie cred.
Yeah, I think we saw that with stuff like Hades and stuff Spiritfarer, Cuphead. Yeah, it's almost like tokenizing the indie games.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm just going to go off what Nick put on the thumbnail of today's podcast and say the last one's probably Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
It is.
There you go.
So spoiled by your own thumbnail.
See, that's a lot of... See, there's a couple of like innovators, and then the whole bunch of Me Too games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Ratchet and Clank : another one.
Yeah, yeah, very pretty.
Yeah,
very sparkly, but definitely another one.
Resident Evil : another one.
Mm-hmm.
Metroid : another one. All right.
Yep.
That was all pretty predictable, I guess.
Yeah.
See, there's it's hard to predict what the rest of the one's going to be because they really feels fucking arbitrary what counts as, you know, best direction and what best action adventure.
No, the best game direction is just Strange just as awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try guessing those. Those could be fucking anything. Just list them all.
Well, there's only five of them, and four of them were Game of the Year nominees.
I'm pretty sure that happens pretty much every year. Yeah, most of the game direction nominees are also Game of the Year, because surely if a game is Game of the Year material, it must have had good direction.
That's the same, and if you use the Oscars as an analog, it's almost always at least four of the five are direct carryovers. So Deathloop, It Takes Two, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, and then like we mentioned before, Returnal. So sorry, Resident Evil Village and Metroid Dread, but your games didn't have good enough direction for best game direction, but they were good enough to be games of the year.
I guess I can see a sort of kernel of sense there. Those were two of the Me Too games.
But it's also funny because the rest of the, like Deathloop, It Takes Two, and Psychonauts 2 have individuals that you're like, oh, Tim Schafer at Double Fine, or you know what I mean? The
dude who makes games where there's two protagonists.
The dude
who makes all of those games.
Yeah, whereas like Metroid Dread's director was Mercury Steam Spanish or Italian. Some guy, I don't know. I don't know who the director is. So
yes, so games with faces.
This is like a Kojima-esque Kojima award. Like I'm surprised they didn't like just nominate the Death Stranding Director's Cut this year. Like, yep, you get it again this year.
I mean, you could read Best Direction as like, you know, best, consistency in like tone and stuff. And I wouldn't say that about It Takes Two. That game is fun, but it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it's an absolute kitchen sink. Like the man had no one to say no, which is, I don't know, was nice for an experience, but I don't know if that means Best Direction.
All right, what's our next category?
Best Narrative. Another five. Three games have been already mentioned. Two games we have not spoken about yet on this show.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to say Psychonauts 2.
Yep.
I'm going to say It Takes Two.
Yes.
Best Narrative. Ooh. See, going by the standards of the Game Awards, it could be Deathloop or it could be the other one, Ratchet and Clank. Mm-hmm.
I did mention, I believe Deathloop is nominated for almost every category possible.
So let's say it's Deathloop.
There you go.
Okay.
So we have Deathloop, It Takes Two, and Psychonauts 2. That leaves two more games, Best Narrative, that we have not spoken about today.
Best Narrative, that hasn't come up yet. How indie would you say these ones are?
One is not indie at all, and the other one is less indie than It Takes Two, but slightly more indie than the other ones.
I see.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy wouldn't have come out soon enough.
It is.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That is Best Narrative. Oh. I think that managed to just slide in. Like, maybe that was literally for the voting. That could have been, like, recency bias. Like, oh, that was a game with a story I played in the last month.
See, that only came to mind because that follows the, quote, narrative game template.
Yeah, like
Last
absolutely.
Of Us did. It's, you know, as in my recent extra punctuation I referred to as the ghost train ride.
I loved that term. That was great.
Oh, okay, last one. What haven't we mentioned? Best narrative.
And this is a game that is very story heavy and not very mechanics heavy.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I assumed. Very story heavy. Not 12 minutes, surely.
No, not 12 minutes. Thank we talk, Christ.
Because we've talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah. This is one I'm not sure. I don't think you did a ZP on this. I could be wrong.
Oh, well, I'm looking at the.
I know we did a 3MR, but.
Okay, I give up. What is it?
It was Life is Strange True Colors. Did you do a ZP on that?
I did not. I could thought about it. But, you know, the whole Life is Strange series has always left me cold. So I didn't have the balls to even start it up.
Yeah.
I always feel like they're talking in another language in those games. Maybe I'm too old.
It's just time has just moved past us.
Yeah.
We have art direction.
This is another one that doesn't go anywhere.
Three games we've talked about quite a bit today, and two we have not talked about at all today.
I'm going to put a large sum of money on Returnal being in there.
It is not. You have lost a large sum of money.
Bye-bye, large sum of money, then. Man, if anything had, like, decent, you know, arty sort of direction to
that's
it.
The standout. I feel like that's the thing I think about in that game when I think about it.
Best art direction. Psychonauts 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, for that, like, psychedelic level alone, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think Deathloop had a strong, consistent art direction. So yep. That was one of them?
That's on there. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, one more we've talked about, and then two we haven't. This category also heavily skews towards things that are bright and colorful.
Right. This is like the pat head to indie games sort of thing. Mm-hmm. For a moment there, I thought Balan Wonderworld might have been considered, but... Then I thought about it for 2 seconds.
That would have been sweet.
Oh.
Poor little Balan.
So it skews bright and colorful. Do all of them skew that way, would you say?
The rest of them are definitely bright and colorful.
Right. I won't say Little Nightmares 2 then.
No.
Do you know if I did a ZP on them all?
I believe so. Well, the one we've already talked about was a Game of the Year nominee.
Oh.
That you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay. Art direction. Oh.
It was one of those another one games.
Right. Ratchet and Clank?
Yep.
Okay. Because that is pretty colourful.
It is very colourful. Maybe this category should have just been the most colours.
Yeah.
And then these two other games have they're relatively recently. I think they came out in August, September. October. And I'm pretty sure you either did ZPs on these or we talked about them.
Right.
Yeah. And they both skew indier.
Okay.
One's definitely indie. One is pretty indie.
All right. Leap of Faith. The Artful Escape.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, if it was going to be nominated for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
The game should have guessed they'd noticed the game with art in the name.
Yeah.
All right, this is me going out on a limb. Death's Door.
No. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out that Death's Door was locked out of so many categories, because it's probably my favorite game of the year so far, but got very little love from the Game Awards.
Yeah, a lot of people like saying it's their game of the year, but didn't really grab me as much as it did some people, it seems.
I think it's, again, more of a testament of, like, I really enjoyed it, but it just, this year didn't have anything like Hades or Spirited Away or 13 Sentinels or even The Last of Us or Tsushima that really, I don't know. Like, Psychonauts 2, I liked a lot. Like, all the games I really like this year, I kind of, like, squint at when I say that.
Art direction is sometimes, like, the consolation prize for games that were, like, trying to be big, but didn't quite... make it to Game of the Year material. So
yeah,
if they were going to nominate Biomutant for anything, it might be in there.
No, it is. It's similar to Biomutant. I would say it is a colorful third person.
Oh, Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Then
yep, exactly. There you go. Okay, so now this next one. This is a curveball. This is best music / score.
Yeah, this could go anywhere.
Yeah, this goes very strange. Four of the five games we have spoken about so far, one sort of jokingly, and then the last one, I just assume you won't guess, and it's the Near Replicant version 1.2247 bunch of numbers.
That is a weird thing.
Yeah.
That was just a re-release, wasn't it? Or a remaster?
It was a remaster, but I think its score was just like a reorchestrated version of the score from 10 years ago or whatever, so.
Well, if they redid the score...
I guess that counts. Yeah,
fair enough, I guess. It
is a very good score.
It would be really taking the piss if Guardians of the Galaxy was nominated for this.
Yeah, and it is. And that's pretty dumb. that's just... Oh, I guess it says the category is for outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtracks. So.
Well, that's cheating. Anything's good with Kickstart My Heart played over it.
That was maybe that was just like the inaugural Yahtzee Awards. So there you go.
Best soundtrack. Well, Psychonauts 2 had an original song in it, so I'm going to say maybe that.
It did not, no. It was not nominated. It didn't have an original song. It was not nominated. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'll guess the others.
Artful Escape, which makes sense. That was also very heavily, you know, music-based.
Yeah, it had a musical bent. The closest thing to gameplay in it was playing Guitar Hero, basically.
Yeah, but that I thought that was like my least favorite part of the game was doing Simon Says music stuff.
It's not even
Deathloop
because there was no timing involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Deathloop. Okay.
Yeah, I remember its aesthetic more than I remember its music.
Yeah, I just remember the music being sort of generic rock.
Yeah. And then the final one, everyone's favorite game of 2021, Cyberpunk.
Oh. Right.
Congrats, Cyberpunk.
Of all the things I remember about Cyberpunk, music isn't one of them.
Nope, absolutely not. Best performance?
It's like recognizing individual like voice actors and stuff.
Yeah. And surprisingly, only one of these people is like a capital H Hollywood actor. At least I think so.
Well, I'm going to guess they might have been in the 12 minutes.
No, thank God.
No 12 minutes nominated.
No 12 minutes. Yeah, but they spent all that money.
But 12 minutes, only real asset was the Hollywood voice talent. One game was sort of Hollywood-esque sort of talent.
Yeah. Okay. A recent game that you brought up earlier, sort of offhandedly.
Okay.
He was a centerpiece of the marketing of the game.
Oh, Christ. I'm trying to remember now. Well, first of all, let's think about games with very prominent voice performances. So, It Takes Two, maybe?
No.
Is that in there?
It's not, no.
Well, they talked enough.
They did talk a lot.
Psychonauts 2.
No. The prominent,
I thought it might have been Jack Black.
No, the prominent one was Giancarlo Esposito from Far Cry 6.
Right.
He was their little centerpiece of marketing.
Completely forgot about that. I didn't even realize it was him when I was playing that game.
I feel like Far Cry tries to be like, they keep trying to one up themselves with like, oh, here's a new villain and we got someone neat to voice him. And I don't know. It all just kind of goes over my head.
Was this another Deathloop-y? Was this another Deathloop one?
This was a dual Deathloop.
Oh, really?
I believe.
So the lead guy and the lead lady as well?
Yeah, I assume so. That just has their actor name, so I assume that's, Juliana and Colt, right. I imagine.
Yeah.
You mentioned a mommy milker earlier.
Resident Evil 8?
Yeah, the milker herself.
See, I didn't think the performance was standout. People just like latched onto the character.
It was also just not in the game very long.
She was the first boss.
Yeah, it was a linchpin for marketing, and then kind of just like, well, there we go.
Well, that says it all, isn't it? That's what this all is. It's fucking marketing.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Erica Mori, who is the lead in Life is Strange.
Right.
So there you go. We could do indie game.
Okay.
Best indie game.
All right.
You sadly know one of them.
So we know 12 Minutes was in there.
Yep.
And you said Death's Door was snubbed. So is that not in there?
It is in there. It is, I believe, the only category it is in. So okay. I was happy about that.
All right. Well, if there's any justice in the world, The Forgotten City...
There is no justice in the world.
Fuck you, Game Awards. Fuck you in your big fat bum.
It was nominated in sort of the subcategory, which is best debut indie game.
Thanks for trying, award.
Yeah. The rest of these we did talk. So Kena got nominated in this category.
It Takes Two, I assume.
It did not. So maybe It Takes Two to them isn't an indie game because it's published by.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Two games that, again, I'm not sure if you... I know you and Jack talked about this one game a few weeks ago when you were talking about, troll games, I think. Was that the category?
Yes, we were talking about Inscription.
Yep.
Yes.
Inscription. Okay. And then the last one, I'm not sure if you even played, was Loop Hero.
Oh, I did. In the year. I did review that, yes. That was
May or April. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, as well, back March, I think.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my list of ZPs.
Yeah. Yeah,
I reviewed that alongside Everhood, which has most of the same letters as Loop Hero.
Weird. Yes. Did you purposely do that just so you could?
No, that was just the two games I played that week.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, they had slightly similar names.
And then the last big one, like we mentioned, debut indie game. I'll just read these off. It was Kena, The Artful Escape, Forgotten City.
Yep.
And then the two we haven't mentioned yet were Sable, which I haven't got a chance to play too much of yet. Have you?
No, I haven't played that yet. I know we got a review code dropped, but you know, other things had higher priority.
Yeah. And then Valheim, which was that big sort of Nordic sandbox game from the beginning of the year that had just millions of people playing.
Yeah, I'm avoiding those like hugely popular crafting survival indie games.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you for that.
No, there's quite a few of those now, and all of them have like the sort of slightly nasty vibe to them.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's like the imperfections that people like.
I don't know.
Like,
it's the fact that they're always so wildly popular that makes them feel a little bit iffy to me. Like maybe they use some like slightly underhand tactics to fire the addiction receptors.
Yeah, exactly. And again, one of those games that I feel like a lot of folks were talking about it right at the beginning of the year, and then I just haven't heard anyone talk about it recently. And maybe that's because I'm just not in that community, but
yeah. Maybe.
And then, of course, your favorite category, most anticipated game.
Yeah.
Most anticipations?
Which game had the highest marketing budget?
Yeah.
Who is the richest cunt in the room award?
Yeah.
So this is, obviously,
five games that should be coming out next year.
Okay, so let's start with the obvious one: Halo Infinite.
Mm-hmm. No,
no. Well, hush my mouth.
Well, I think they were like, we can't nominate it for most anticipated because by the time the show airs, Halo will already be out.
Are they? And it might be crap. It might be crap.
Yeah, exactly. Halo's in that like iffy middle ground where it was. Yeah.
All right, Elden Ring then.
Elden Ring,
obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
God of War sequel.
God of War sequel.
Horizon sequel.
Horizon sequel.
Yeah, all the big Sony ones.
Yeah.
How many is that?
That is 3 of 5. Okay. We have one more sequel and one original game.
Whew.
Original as in not a sequel. I don't know how original it's going to be. But
Not sure, actually. Why don't you just tell me?
The sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't even have a title yet.
Yeah, it doesn't even have an official name yet.
It is literally, Nintendo officially refers to it as the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Hey, remember Breath of the Wild? Have a prize, because we have a prize, Nintendo, because we remembered Breath of the Wild.
And then the last one is Starfield, the Bethesda.
Should have known. Hasn't that been like most anticipated for 3 years now, isn't it?
It has, yeah. And this category does a good job of, you have a couple Sony exclusives, you have an Xbox exclusive, you have a Nintendo exclusive, and then everyone can play Elden Ring.
See, I didn't think of Starfield because that's just been a thing for so long. It's just settled into the back of my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, do we even have anything beyond a logo yet on that one?
They showed a little cinematic, like someone getting into a cockpit. Like, we haven't seen anything, remotely resembling gameplay at all, but the game's going to have cockpits. That's exciting. People love cockpits.
Fucking hate that most anticipated game of war. That is just the mask coming off every fucking year, that one. All right, what's next? What do they always do? They always do like the Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's always just guy we could convince to show up.
I'm not actually sure who they're giving that to. I'm not sure if they.
I guess they wouldn't have announced that yet.
Yeah, if they just sort of like, because it's less. I guess that's not like a competition. That would be funny if they brought like five older people out and only one of them got the award and like yelled and paid for their own flights.
As I say, that's always just, it always feels like the person who agreed to show up. Like one year it was Ken and Roberta Williams out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, well, I guess we just kind of chose to do this. A couple of the, all the rest of the categories are relatively small. I know one of the big, or I guess two of the big snubs people were upset about were Hitman 3, which I think only got it in like VR and AR game and maybe action game. And that might have been like a victim of that came out in January, I think. So it just seems like a very long time ago.
Well, I've had fun guessing, but I'm just going to look up the whole list myself now. So we can discuss what else there is.
There you go.
The Game Awards 2021. Yep, there we go. Deathloop.
Yeah, a lot of Deathloop.
Oh, I forgot Games for Impact. That's always a weird one.
What is the most impact that a game has had? Yeah.
I'm never sure what exactly that means. I mean, they always like have some blurby explanation for what it means, but then the nominees are just shit we couldn't squeeze in anywhere else.
Yeah, it is. The description is literally for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message.
And see, what does that mean?
Five nice games. It doesn't mean anything. It is five nice games. Like I think that's good.
What does pro-social mean? It doesn't tell the audience to commit suicide. well done, everyone. So I'm looking at them now. Before Your Eyes.
Yeah,
do you know that?
It's a game that you fully control. You have to have a camera on, and the way you control it is by blinking. And so you're in these little vignettes, and every time you blink, you move forward in time. So you can only like stay in these vignettes for as long as you can keep your eyes open, I guess.
Okay. Boyfriend Dungeon. Isn't that one of them spoof dating sims?
Yeah, that's very pro-social meaning or message.
Yeah. Chicory, A Colorful Tale. I don't know what that is.
That was like a little Zelda-like where you're like a little critter with a paintbrush.
Oh, was that game that Game Maker's Toolkit was talking about the other day?
Maybe. I don't think I've seen the recent episode, but yeah. It came out a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago.
Life is Strange, True Colors, and No Longer Home, which I also don't know what that is.
I don't actually know what that last one is, if I'm being honest. No. Yeah.
Well, it's got a Wikipedia page. an indie point-and-click adventure that received mixed reviews, which is all Wikipedia had to say about it. Man, it really seems like they're just randomly picking names with a dartboard for the Games for Impact ones.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. I guess seems like it's a game about like divorce, maybe.
Okay. Oh yeah.
People love games about divorce.
Message games, they always get a nom.
Do you think 12 minutes should have been a game for impact?
Well, I guess a turd landing in a toilet bowl counts as an impact of a kind.
I think it was brave enough to tackle the hard hitting subjects like Where's My Watch and Sister and, Kissing.
Yes, and well, quite a bit more than kissing, but let's not get into that. Oh, here we go. Best ongoing game, the Live Service
Award. Love ongoing games.
And best community support, which is the other Live Service Game Award.
It's strange to be nominated for one of these and not for the other one.
Yeah, it's weird. So, best ongoing game, Apex Legends, Call of Duty Warzone, Final Fantasy XIV, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. Man, Fortnite's been in there for quite a few years now.
Yeah, I guess they made this category so they could just be like, okay, we understand these games evolve over time, but we can't just keep treating them as new games, so we'll just put them over here.
Just a prize every year for those motherfuckers. Yeah. And best community support, Apex Legends, Final Fantasy XIV, and Fortnite, but instead of Call of Duty Warzone and Genshin Impact, Destiny 2, Beyond Light, and No Man's Sky.
It's just like, I like the idea that No Man's Sky, they were good enough for community support, but not good enough for best ongoing game. So,
best VR game, Hitman 3, as you said, none of them, none of which I've played. I still want to play Resident Evil 4. I don't have an Oculus Quest 2.
Nick, give it to him.
Yeah, get on it, Nick. Innovation in Accessibility, which, you know, that is actually a specific thing. Which game had the best new idea for a new kind of subtitle, or, you know, that thing where you it reads out all the text so you can play it if you're blind?
Yeah, that seems like that's a lot of games I booted up this year for the first time, and you had a voice like reading to me on the menu.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's like, I was like, well, this is nice, but it's just weird that there's not like a console. Maybe there is a console default setting to where I'm like, nope, you don't need to do this for me. I'm fine.
I wonder how performative this is. How many like blind people want to be included in playing The Last of Us 2, for example?
Yeah, yeah. But I know, I believe that's what won last year, and they had all sorts of like, if you fiddled with those accessibility options, like it was crazy how much work was put into it.
I just wonder how much fun a blind person could extract from the experience.
Yeah.
Where are we? Best action game and best action adventure game.
Very different.
Throw your darts, everyone. So best action game is usually where they stick shooters that didn't go anywhere else. So I'm surprised COD Vanguard isn't in here. Maybe that was too late.
Yeah, that totally might have been.
Although Back 4 Blood's here.
Yeah, and that was only a few weeks before.
Yeah.
It's also strange to me that Far Cry 6 and Deathloop are considered action games, whereas Resident Evil Village is considered an action-adventure game.
Yeah, I mean,
feels like whatever they are, they should be in the same category.
Yeah, don't look for a distinction here, because there is none. They just threw their darts. Where's the adventure in Guardians of the Galaxy? It's just action, isn't it?
Walking down hallways? Maybe that's what they said. It's combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. So the traversal is walking down hallways.
I associate adventure with exploration, you know? Player choice.
That game did not. Like I said, a little bit of player choice in terms of like a faux branching path.
Yeah. And best role-playing game. Okay, then. Again, you could have a whole debate on what counts as a role-playing game. But they seem to be pretty strict on this one, because it's like Cyberpunk and then four JRPGs.
Yep.
Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, Shin Megami Tensei V, and Tales of Arise.
Yeah. I feel like if Cyberpunk wins this, people are not going to be happy. Well, I mean, people are generally just not happy, but they'll be less happy.
People who like JRPGs definitely won't be happy.
Yeah.
Okay, best fighting game. There really aren't many of these.
These were just the five fighting games, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it's very niche fighting game these days. But here they are. Here are the five fighting games that came out. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Hinokami Chronicles. Guilty Gear Strive. Melty Blood Type Lumina.
Do you have Melty Blood? What's your blood doing?
God, I hope not. Virtua Fighter 5, Ultimate Showdown. Well, I know the name Virtua Fighter, so that's something. And Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, the one that I knew.
There you go.
What's that?
You just wait till next year when we have games like Multiverses, the Warner Brothers Smash Brothers clones.
Yeah, I was watching looking for the trailer for that, and I was like, here is the sum of my reaction to watching that trailer. Wait, is that supposed to be Arya Stark?
They actually got it's Maisie Williams is doing the voice. I don't know if that means they got Maisie Williams or they paid to just use
that game is a DLC machine. That's why they're making it. That is infinite DLC right there. Yeah. Never Absolutely. It will never fucking stop. They will put in whatever IP returns its phone calls.
Yep. No, and man, everything is under the Warner Brothers umbrella. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah.
I mean, look at all the shit they threw into the last Mortal Kombat.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And the last Injustice game.
Who are you hoping makes it? I hope that those thugs from A Clockwork Orange show up in the game.
I guess I will be holding out for Modesty Blaze.
There you go. I'm just hoping for a crossover with Melty Blood, because there's nothing I love more than mixing Scooby-Doo with Melty Blood.
Dr. Bashir from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
There you go.
Fucking Shaggy, of all characters, fucking Shaggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even with Scooby-Doo, just Shaggy.
No. Voiced by Matthew Lillard, who played him in the live-action movie, so there we go.
Casey Kasem's not dead yet, is he?
I'm relatively sure that he has to be dead, right?
He still shows up on, like, the drive time radio when I'm driving somewhere on Sundays.
He died in 2014, so I don't know. Maybe you're listening to ghosts.
Yeah, I guess he recorded a lot of shit.
Or maybe he's like, yeah, he's spoken so much into a microphone that an algorithm has just...
There you go. Know, yeah.
It'll be like long after you're dead, there will still be ZPs.
I mean, you know, Shaggy and Arya Stark. What can you say about that? It just boggles my mind. All right. But the rest of these are all kind of niche.
Mm-hmm.
Best sports racing game. Best family game.
Family game one is just mostly like a nice little Nintendo award. So
yeah, I guess in the abstract, It Takes Two makes sense to nominate for best family game. But as I said in my review, I couldn't imagine myself playing that with my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might lead to some awkward conversations.
What about 12 minutes? Yeah. No?
Best multiplayer game, blah-de-blah. See that?
Yeah.
See, It Takes Two on one side and Back for Blood on the other. Multiplayer covers so many different facets.
Yeah, it's a wide swath. So, like, how do you possibly even compare two games like that?
And best debut game and most anticipated game. And then the Esports Awards, a load of names I've never heard.
Yeah, they're also written very strangely. There's like random numbers and capital letters and too many consonants.
And Content Creator of the Year, which is always people I've never heard of. Although I have heard of Dream, and I've only heard of him because I heard he's a speedrun cheater.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. Like, he cheated at Minecraft speedrunning.
That's not good at all.
And that caused quite a stir in the speedrunning community.
Mm. He probably shouldn't win. Content Creator of the Year, then. Probably shouldn't
acknowledge that. Because where are we if the speedrunning community has no integrity?
Where are we as a nation if the speedrunning community has no integrity?
Well,
that's funny.
Well, another list of Game Award nominations. Maybe when they announce the winners, I'll have another spit into my microphone over
there. There you go. There you go.
Do we want to, like, guess? Do we want to guess right now what the winners are going to be?
Ooh, that's good.
Considering sheer number of nominations, I would say Deathloop will take Game of the Year.
Yeah, I would as well. And I could see that in the same way getting Best Direction. I could see it one of the performers getting Best Performance.
What about Best Narrative?
Of those, again, I haven't played True Colors yet. Psychonauts 2, I guess?
Yeah.
My favorite?
I feel like they'll want to acknowledge Psychonauts 2. That's the nostalgia pick.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just compared to other years where I'm like, where I really feel strongly about a handful of games, I just, like, these are all, none of these are like games that I think were bad.
But if they don't give narrative to Psychonauts 2, they'll probably give it Best Art Direction.
Yeah.
Because the rest of them, not particularly artistically great, except for Artful Escape, but that's too indie for the big prize.
Yeah.
Games for Impact, who the fuck knows? They'll probably give it to Life is Strange because they nominated that somewhere else. But if they nominated it for a bigger award but didn't give it it, they'll probably let it win one of those other categories, one of those other fringe categories.
Yeah.
I want to say 12 minutes feels like the thing they're most likely to give Best Indie Game of the ones they've got there.
I mean, it just feels like the thing that most people have played. Between the Hollywood names and its availability on Game Pass when it released.
Best Indie Game is always just Indie Game with Best Visibility.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Inscription, everyone who's played it loves it, but...
Well, I've played it. I didn't love it the way some people did, apparently.
Well, everyone but one.
All right.
I also didn't actually love it. I thought the game was interesting, but I definitely, I also don't like card games. So.
Yeah, I didn't see it through because I'm just not, I was just wasn't like interested in the card gameplay.
Yeah.
Okay. The rest, I don't really care.
Who you don't, as long as the cheater doesn't win best content creator.
Yeah. Yeah, any of those.
Yeah. Or Riot.
Yeah, we should probably tackle these super chats then.
Yeah, they're coming in. They're coming in.
Yeah.
Nice and thick.
So we better get on to that. But yeah, in conclusion, Game Awards, what a load of bollocks.
However, tune in on the evening of December, whenever they are, and we're going to be doing a live watch.
Yes, we'll do a live watch, and then every time they announce the winner, we'll all go, what a load of bollocks, in a sing-song voice. And you can all join in. It'll be a fun community experience.
That sounds really nice. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. We'll release like a little lyric sheet.
Yeah, like follow the bouncing ball.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay, where are we? Monetization, supers. And again, this just lists like the ones that the super chats with money. So this won't list the super chats that came with like account upgrades. So let me know if I miss those.
Yeah, if I spot any of those, I'll let you know.
Because I probably will. Jake Creighton, who gave us a super chat before we even started, of £8.99 British pounds, to say, no question, I just wanted to thank you both for the fantastic content you put out. It has helped me cope with a difficult few weeks, and I truly appreciate all of it. Keep up the good work. You're welcome, Jake Creighton.
Jake, it is our pleasure, absolutely.
Robin Wilde gives $10 to say, hey Yahtzee, I'm from the East Midlands and just moved to Seattle, and the difference is pretty eye-opening. Which was the bigger culture shock move for you, UK to Australia or Australia to USA? East Midlands is a region in the UK, by the way.
Okay.
Not far from where I grew up. I would say the bigger culture shock for me was moving to Australia, I think, because in the UK I'd only ever lived in my small hometown, and when I moved to Australia, I moved to a big city. Well, big for us by Australian standards. Actually, one of the smaller big cities in Australia, Brisbane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big culture shock.
And moving to the US wasn't as big, you don't think?
I wouldn't say so. Well, that might be because I moved to Northern California, where San Francisco is. And one time when I was in Brisbane, I noticed they were shooting a movie. And they had like ambulances around that were marked San Francisco, like ambulance service.
Yeah.
So apparently Brisbane passes for San Francisco on film. So that might That might be why it wasn't as much of a culture
probably
shock.
Much cheaper, yeah. And also, it seems like everyone from the Bay Area isn't from the Bay Area, so like everyone's a transplant.
Yeah. Yes, unless you're homeless.
Unless you're homeless,
yeah.
Then you're from there.
Yeah.
And then you have full rights. Yeah.
Because only the transplants can afford to live here, it seems.
Yeah, exactly.
Thomas Stone gives $10 to say, just wanted to thank you for showing me that you can be critical of something and still like it. Well, I'd say a lot of people could have shown you that before I did.
But you created it. You were the first one.
Okay, fine.
Move over, Roger Ebert.
Yeah, fine. I invented criticism. Yes, I was alive before Jonathan Swift and invented criticism before he did.
Proud of you. That was incredible.
Andrew White Winter gives $10 to say, pumpkin pie or apple pie, turkey or ham, woodchuck or angry orchard, American football or Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
That's huge. So wait, what was the first one?
In order, I'd say apple pie, ham, angry orchard, and death.
Okay. I think I'm pumpkin pie, turkey, also angry orchard. And I like football.
How
so.
Can you like turkey over ham? Turkey has no flavor. Turkey is just like the bread of meat.
But if we were just talking about a Thanksgiving, like ham on Thanksgiving seems weird. Like I want to know that bird died for me to be able to have a 4-day weekend.
Okay, fine. But I was thinking sandwiches. And in a sandwich context, are better. There is no contest.
I'll agree with that.
Corey Myers gives $5 to say, do you agree that the Game Awards do not reflect gamers' true Game of the Year? Well, there's that question smacks of no true Scotsman, but I think we were pointing out that it more represents the AAA media interests than the actual, you know, popular sport. In fact, didn't they used to have like a popular award? Like the most the most voted for award?
Yeah, I believe now it is something like 10 or 20% of the Game of the Year award is voted by fan voting. And then the rest of it is whatever 100, 150 media outlets they have. And so I think the one thing is I just there's no like one true gamer. That's not a thing. Like it's such a large medium. So
yeah,
like I don't think there's an easy way to do this. Like I like making fun of the Game Awards and the Oscars and everything, but I don't know how to fix it. And so I'm just gonna keep making fun of it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And everyone's Game of the Year is subjective.
No, absolutely.
That's something yeah. one of my previous podcast partners could never accept.
Monster. Are you talking about Jack?
No, me and my old mate. Me and my old mate Gabriel, we always used to get in an argument over whether or not Game of the Year was a subjective thing.
That's insane. How could you... That's...
I don't know, but we'd always make an argument of it.
I don't even know how I'd argue that. I would just, like, get flustered and shake my head and start talking loudly.
Well, that was generally what I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Miles Mann gives $4.99 US to say, made it on my lunch break, here's some money. Thank you very much, Miles Mann. Enjoy your lunch.
Turkey sandwiches all day.
Scavenger gives $2 to say, would Yahtzee have enjoyed The Last of Us 2 with Motley Crue? No, probably not, because that would have been quite a massive tonal shift.
Yeah, what if instead of playing that Pearl Jam or Eddie Vedder song that Ellie kept playing, that Joel taught her, she played Motley Crue?
I don't think murdering someone's beloved doggy woggy would have been improved by having Kickstart My Heart playing over it. Scavenger again gives $5 to say, if most anticipated was based on intensity rather than mass numbers, it'd be Star Citizen every year till the end of time. Oh, who's still anticipating that?
I think I just read a news story about how they've raised $400,000 or
they've raised a stupid amount for that game. It's getting stupid.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, it raised the 400 million mark. So it just crossed raising 400. That has to be like a Ponzi scheme, right?
Yeah. I think it's only like the niche psychos who are still... The very vocal niche psychos that still give a shit about Star Citizen.
Yeah, and it's still... It raised 8 million in October alone. That is just... What is happening?
Them niche psychos, they got a lot of money. That's why there's like $1,000 worth of DLC for Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, if you can serve a niche... You might not have much fun, you know, designing trains and trucks for the rest of your video game making career, but you'll always have a steady paycheck.
Exactly.
All the Games gives $1.99 to say, remember Elder Scrolls 6? Bethesda sure don't. Did they announce? They did announce that, didn't they?
Yeah, they announced it 2018, I want to say. Okay. And I think they've also said that they're just like they're focused on Starfield, and then they're going to focus on Elder Scrolls 6. So I wouldn't expect Elder Scrolls 6 until definitely the back half of the decade.
That'll be a future nominee for the E3. Bet you were hoping we thought you'd forgotten about this award.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy, you know, gives $5 to say Cyberpunk's nomination to Best RPG is all about money and nothing to do with quality. Well, that sums up a lot of what we're talking about here, basically, yes.
I mean, it has all to do with money, as in its marketing allowed it to be known and recognized by a lot of people. It's not like CD Projekt is paying people off.
Has that game been patched to the degree that it's playable yet?
It is playable, but they still they pushed the true like PS5 Xbox Series X patch to next year.
It's still not available on the consoles?
I believe it's available, but it's just the, like, you're playing ostensibly the last-gen version on the new consoles.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's hardware for you.
Right after that one you read, we had one of those bonus member messages.
Oh, yes.
Will Cooling, who's been a member for 19 months, thank you so much, says, any thoughts on football manager games? Huge business in the UK and Europe, but don't see the escapists cover them.
Yeah, I remember they've been huge for ages. They were huge on, like, the Commodore 64 and shit.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think it's just you need to, like, really be into it to cover it.
Yeah, that's super niche. Super niche, the way British football supporters are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just has to be, you kind of have to be a jack of all trades when we cover games for a living.
That's the sort of thing for people who used to collect football stickers when they were a kid.
Did you?
No. Some of my friends did, all standing around the school playground with a little stack of stickers in their hand going, got, need, got, for swapsies, you see.
I did that with Pokemon cards.
That was the other one.
What a time to be alive.
Deebs Scrub gave a sigh of US dollars to say, best RPG, Nick bursts through the wall. It's Minecraft! I love that we have our own running gags now.
Yeah.
That's how you know that you've got a proper community.
Yeah. Thank you, Deebs. That's great.
Yes, thanks, Nick, for creating that little minor meme. Trey Cook, if you don't get that joke, guess you should watch more escapist content so you can be part of the in crowd. Trey Cook gives $4.99 to say, not The Last of Us 2, but I'm a visually impaired photographer and I play tons of video games. I always appreciate accessibility options. Well, there you go. Though I take it not fully blind then, from what you were saying, from the fact that you're a photographer.
Yeah, because he's visually impaired. I would imagine that's not fully blind. Yeah.
Brave Othello gives $10 to say, on accessibility, accessible options are almost always better for all. Think about having text-to-speech option for all text helps blind people, also helps dyslexic people like Jack or J-Mate.
Yeah, I don't think there's any arguments there.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. I put subtitles on everything, and I like making them big. Because I sit far away from the TV and I have shitty eyesight, so
right.
I'm the last one saying anything about accessibility options.
Yeah, see, I'm just thinking of that that option in Last of Us 2 made it playable to the blind, where it would do things like you are crouched next to a wall. There is an enemy up ahead.
Yeah.
I just wonder if blind people genuinely got fun out of that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Look, there's got to be a video on YouTube on that. I'm going to YouTube it.
Let us know, blind people.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. Scavenger gives $5 to say, I'm disappointed East 9 didn't get nominated for RPG. Well, that came out last year, I think. I only reviewed it this year. Unrelated, Yahtzee, did you try Haven? I saw it was by the same studio as Fury. I didn't, actually, although now you've mentioned it's by the same studio as Fury, I'm suddenly more interested.
Well, there you go.
I really quite liked Fury.
Haven was the one about like a couple who's like crash landed on a planet, and it's like a little bit of dating, and then the rest of it is like exploring the planet for resources and stuff. Ah,
I'm looking it up now. That this never crossed my radar somehow.
Yeah, it felt like it was in development for a while. It popped up at a lot of indie things, but then it kind of just released to what felt like minimal fanfare.
Maybe I'll have a little looky-loo over the Christmas
over
holidays
the break.
When I have
there you
some
go.
Time.
Yeah. We got another one of those right after this. Those bonus contents from Curious Quasit. Hi, from Scotland. First stream I've caught since Jack and Marty's D&D, given
Scotland.
The melty blood mention.
Hi from Scotland.
Given the melty blood mention, either of you familiar with the Fate franchise? I am not.
No. Well, I think some titles have like passed me by over the years. Do you remember titles
imagine.
Like Resonance of Fate? The only thing I know about that is the title. It just appeared in my memory.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Melty Blood.
I
feel like there just needs to be another name for that thing. You just need to call it something else.
Melty Blood.
Well, yeah, just don't call it that.
I assume it's a Japanese game.
It is.
I don't know why. Melty Blood always makes me think of menstruation.
That's fair.
Because
yeah,
that's what
fair.
Menstruation is. It's when your blood goes all melty. It's when your uterine lining goes all melty on you.
I like that that slightly something else can sometimes be educational.
Yes.
That's what I like.
And even though it's always a couple of pasty dudes, sometimes we discuss women's issues.
Yeah, exactly. Fate is an anime that also has games, but Fate has a crossover with Melty Blood.
Fate
Zero...
Fate / Stay Night. Yes,
I've heard that title.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Nicholas Gallagher gives $5 to say, biggest snubs in my opinion, Genesis Noir for art direction, Persona 5 Strikers for action game, and Subnautica Below Zero for best soundtrack. Oh, I don't think they would have given Persona 5 Strikers anything. That was just a spin-off.
Yeah, that was and pretty much only for fans of Persona 5. I completely agree about Genesis Noir. I don't know if you played that. That was an indie game from earlier this year. But it had one of the most striking visual styles I have ever seen in a game. So I would have probably nominated it above nearly anything else in that category. So, Nicholas, I completely agree with you.
Oh, this is the game I thought it was. Yes. Yeah. I didn't really get it, but it had a striking visual style, certainly.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's about like the creation of the universe, but through like a black and white noir jazz story, but that is still about the creation of a universe. And it's neat. It definitely has good art direction.
Mandible gives $5 to say, Yahtzee mentioned in Let's Drown Out at some point that you aspire to create a less industry favored game awards. How would you envision it? Well, having said that, the only way you could really do that is to play every single game that comes out. And ain't nobody got time for that shit.
Yeah, that's the big difference between games and like the Oscars. Like it's very possible if you cover film to watch, a couple hundred movies a year and make sure you're pretty much caught up on everything, whereas there's just not enough hours in the day. And also certain genres require such expertise and time commitment that we can't speak to Football Manager or MMOs or even Forza.
I'm 100% certain that numerous indie games have passed me by that I would have loved and might have even made my game of the year. But the fact is that I can only like play games once they've gained a certain amount of visibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I think the big thing is just to find critics you like. Less even outlets and more just individual critics at those outlets and follow them.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Although I could probably like assemble a list of things that should have won for each category out of games that didn't get any nominations at all. I could probably do that at least.
I think snubs are a lot like mentioning Genesis Noir earlier. That's like one of those good examples of like, well, there's like, this was just a better looking than the rest of these games. So it's crazy, but yeah.
Rendworth gives $5 to say, how long do you think it will take for a best remake stroke remaster category to appear if it ever does?
I'm surprised there isn't one personally.
Although then you'd have to figure out what the difference is between a remake and a remaster. I was thinking about this because I've been working on my review of the GTA Definitive Editions. And I think those are remasters, but they're only remasters because they're slightly more elaborate than a re-release, but not quite elaborate enough to be a remake.
Yeah, yeah.
So a remake I would classify as something like Black Mesa being a remake of Half-Life. So that's totally remade from the ground up with modern sensibilities.
And, is that what you'd say with like the Final Fantasy VII remake from?
Yeah, that's
every year
that's,
ago.
That's definitely a remake, but
remastering
is not the same thing. If you just slapped an HD filter on everything, so you got this really weird clash between HD textures and late 90s era level design, then it just looks a mess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know for me, I think the Nier Replicant was, if you want to call that a remaster, remake, I don't know what the hell you would call it, but it was probably the most impressive one of those to me this year because it took a game that had a lot of really great ideas but was rough around the edges and sanded down a lot of those edges and made the game a lot more playable. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's another question. Simmer Player says, is Knights of the Old Republic getting a remake or a remaster? So it just got a Switch port. Mm-hmm. Which they are calling a remaster, but then a full remake is in development. Same with like Dead Space. A full Dead Space remake is in development.
Yes, there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And let's say this was the last one, so no more Super Chats now. I will not read out any more after this, although we're very grateful for your money if you do send one in. We just won't read them out because there's got to be a rule about these things or that we'll be here all day. Gage Von Will gives $5 to say, just dropping in to say thanks to Yahtzee for ZP, been a part of my weekly routine for years, love the podcast and everything else you guys are doing. Well, if you love all the things we're doing, what a lovely opportunity to transition to plugging all the rest of the shit that's coming out of the escape.
Incredible. Did you plan for that to be the last one?
I certainly did not, but thank you very much, Gage Von Will. Tune in later today, actually, because Jack is joining up with some of the bods behind the Foundry virtual tabletop system to talk about a bit of behind-the-scenes stuff relating to Adventure is Nigh. That's from 1 p.m. today, I believe.
That's exciting.
As for later in the week, of course, Zero Punctuation is tomorrow. Of course. Mm-hmm. How could you ever doubt it? I will be covering Call of Duty Vanguard.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, tune in for that one. Should be fun. If you like to see someone just smacking the shit out of a great big punching bag for 5 minutes. And of course, the post-CP stream will be at the usual time from 1 p.m. What are you up to next, Marty?
We have early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central. We're doing Breakout Live again with Nick and KC. We did our first episode last week. It was really great having folks in the chat talk with us. So we'll be doing it again tomorrow morning. I don't believe we're streaming anything on Thursday because it's Thanksgiving here in the U.S. But Friday evening, I'll be back with KC. We'll be finishing off Dead Space. We'll have game night on Saturday, which will most likely be Halo Infinite again, because Nick will play that every week until he dies. And then some more Persona on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, and all sorts of stuff.
We're not streaming tomorrow, but a new episode of Adventure is Nigh will be dropping on this side. Things really hotten up now. We left it on quite a cliffhanger on the last episode, so you'll want to tune in for this one. And holy the newest moly. Episode of Extra Punctuation will be hitting YouTube for the non-subscribers. That's the Extra Punctuation on the subject of the Ghost Train Ride as a gameplay model. So enjoy that.
Yeah, and I had a video essay that went up yesterday on YouTube as well about Elden Ring and why it feels like a greatest hits album from Software's last decade, and why sometimes that's okay.
I am deliberately not playing Elden Ring in its current form or listening to any of that sort of content because I'm going to go in fresh when the full game comes out and not before.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Deep Scrub. Thank you for reminding me.
Toffee time.
Yeah. Got to wake up the sleepy dog. Toffee, do his little dance, do his little goodbye dance, because he's a very tolerant dog. My last dog would be biting my hands off at this point, but he doesn't. Because he puts up with everything.
He is a very tolerant dog.
It could just because he's frightened of me, and in which case I'd feel like an asshole.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, you're not friend of me. You wouldn't snuggle up to me so much if you were frightened, would you? Would you? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Like I say, he puts up with a lot this time. I'm just laughing that he doesn't react.
Yeah, maybe Toffee's just like, it'll just go away if I play dead.
Okay, everyone. I guess that'll be it. Thanks for watching Slightly Something Else on the subject of the Game Awards. I was Yahtzee Croshaw. Follow me on Twitter, at Yahtzee Croshaw.
Yeah, I'm McBiggity. I'm Marty. Follow me at McBiggity. Jesus Christ.
You could be McBiggity and Marty Slaver.
That is my Christian name, McBiggity.
Yeah. and that'll be it. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.